The Z and Todd Baptista present Doo-Wop 7 Rock and Remember, Friday, April 20th, starring the voice of the Shirelles, Shirley Alston Reeve.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
Special guest stars, Charlie Thomas and his Drifters.
Under the boat, down by the sea, yeah.
Massachusetts' own, the Tune Weaver.
Happy, happy birthday, baby.
And the Ramalama Ding Dong Boys, the Edsels. Don't miss this incredible night of Hall of Fame, doo-wop, and rock and roll. Get your tickets now at the Z Box Office, by phone, 508-994-2900, or online at Zyterian.org. Doo-wop 7, April 20th, Zyterian Performing Arts Center, New Bedford.
Hi, this is Little Anthony of Little Anthony Imperials, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Charlie Thomas of the Drifters, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show. Mike told me to tell you that.
Hi, I'm Rosalind.
And I'm Annette, and we're the original Vandellas, and you're listening to our good friend, Mike Miller,
on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Tony McKelly, lead singer of The Reflections. You're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
This is one way to get around. It takes more skill than most of us have. So for really going places, we recommend the great new Edsel. For full six-passenger comfort, Edsel gives you more room, more size, more of everything. Edsel is built to be the most distinctive car on the road, with no trace of look-alike styling. Yet Edsel is now actually priced down in the low price field with many models of Plymouth, Chevrolet, and Ford. Edsel takes bumps like this in its stride. You see, Edsel gives you a big car luxury ride, a big car rugged suspension system, and oversized springs, foam rubber front seat cushions, and a big 120-inch wheelbase for big car roadability. Power? You can custom tailor your power to your needs from these four engines Edsel offers, including two V8s and a thrifty six that give you eye-opening performance on regular gas. Remember, Edsel is now priced down in the low price field with many models of Plymouth, Chevrolet, and Ford. It's a king-size value in the low price field. So don't spare the horses. Visit your Edsel dealer and treat yourself to an eye-opening demonstration drive. See, sit in, and drive the best car buy in America. Edsel.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my extreme pleasure to have as my guests one of my favorite groups, the Edsels. How you doing, guys?
Hey.
That's great, you know. And I understand that two of the original Edsels are still with the Edsels, and that's Jimmy and Marshall. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's correct.
Well, you know what? Let me talk to Jimmy first. You know, Jimmy, when did you guys get started?
Oh, God. I have a picture on my wall in my office.
You do, huh?
And it says 1957.
Wow. No kidding. And who were the members of the group then?
And it was Marshall Sugg, bassman, George, the leader, Harry and Larry, tenors, and myself, baritone.
Right. And George Jones, is George still with us? Is he around?
No, George, unfortunately, was called home about 2 years ago.
Oh, no kidding. I see. Well, you know, that's happened to so many groups.
It's happening.
You know, I mean, my phone rings all the time, and it's, oh, my goodness, did you hear about so-and-so, or did you hear about this guy or that guy? And it's, you know, I'm afraid to answer the phone at this point. The Edsel started out in Ohio, is that correct?
Right, we started out in a little town called Camel, Ohio.
Right. Were you guys singing on the corner? Was it a school thing, or how did you really get together with the group?
It was both. George and I had just returned from the Air Force, and he did some singing in there, and I did, and when we returned home, we wanted to continue it, and we rounded up Marshall and Larry and Harry, and we kept it going.
Now, Larry and Harry, were they brothers?
They were twins.
Oh, they were twins. No kidding. Wow. That must have been interesting on stage. Unbelievable. The Etzels, when they started out, were they called the Etzels?
You know, there has been some controversy. Marshall's sitting here, and Marshall said a couple of times that it started out as Esso.
Oh, the Essos. Oh, you mean like the gasoline?
So with the Etzels.
Esso gas.
Yes, uh-huh.
I think they're gone already. The gas is gone and the car is gone.
Yeah, but we're holding on.
The car costs a lot of money now because guys that have that Etzel, man, those are worth over $100,000, $200,000. Amazing.
The group is worth over $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I read, you know. So the Etzels get together, and what is the first thing that you did when you realized that the group was pretty good?
Well, it motivated us, and we continued and kept on and hoping that we could meet someone who could boost us out there, and that is what happened to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you doing before you really took a step up? What were you doing? Were you singing on the corner? Were you doing sock hops?
We were doing record hops. It was called record hops.
Right, right. I remember that. And how about recording? Did the Essos record anything before they changed their name?
No, Marshall, we didn't do anything. Come on. Marshall's sitting there looking.
I'll bet Marshall has, like, a couple of recordings that you didn't know about.
Come on.
Not really. Basically, whenever we recorded something,
right,
all the guys got a copy of it, and
yeah,
we all, you know, we were pretty knowledgeable about everything that
yeah,
we did.
Gotcha. Because I know there are always those collectors around, you know, and they come out of the woodwork, and all of a sudden they say, hey, I got this thing from this group, and this is some of the hit groups, and they come up with something that the group doesn't even remember. And they say, yeah, I got this. You guys recorded this when you were 16, and somebody recorded it, and God knows how they get a hold of this stuff. But, you know, there's always stuff floating around. And nowadays, like, you know, you go on YouTube and you say, hey, man, there I am on YouTube. How did that get there? It's amazing.
Well, that's true, you know. That
happened
to us. Yeah, that's true.
Right about that.
I mean, you would be amazed at the amount of fans that there are out there that are just, you know, they're aficionados and they know all about it. We'll build up to Remalema Ding Dong. So, Marshall, here's the group. You changed the name and you guys realize that you're pretty good. How did you take the next step to get into becoming a major recording group and having a record that is loved by so many people? What happened next?
Well, Larry Green, he knew Dale Finchak.
Uh-huh.
And he had a band, and he heard what we had, a Ramalama Ding Dong.
Right.
And he took it to another individual by the name of Jim Madrick.
Gotcha.
Jim Madrick took our record to New York.
Uh-huh.
At a label to take it and record it for us and put it out.
Right, right. Okay. This was actually Ramalama Ding Dong.
Absolutely.
How did that tune come about? Who wrote that tune?
George Jones. He was the one who orchestrated that.
Oh, he actually wrote it. So in other words, you know, what happens a lot of times when a group has their own tune and, you know, once you get it with a record company, they want to take it away from you, you know.
Oh, yeah, that do happen.
Yeah, because I remember with Roulette, I mean, you know, let's face it, Morris Levy did not write Why Do Fools Fall in Love, but his name is on it.
Yeah,
you know,
a whole lot of that happened during that era. Yeah.
And if you talk to Jimmy Merchant, I mean, you know, you can't even bring up Morris Levy's name. You know, he starts to retch. It's crazy. Let me see if I have it right. You recorded this at Snyder Studios. Is that correct?
Snyder Studio in Cleveland, Ohio.
There you go. Cleveland, Ohio, the home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I did a show years ago from Cleveland called The Upbeat Show. And I think the guy's name was Don Webster. And they had Jeff Kutesh and the Upbeat Dancers. It was a group that I had. And it was called The Upbeat Show. Did you guys remember that show?
I remember Don Webster. I remember the show.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because that was a local Cleveland show. And that was like... That was a pretty big show. They used to have all the big groups on there. So try to clear up something for me, and that is, people talk about Ramalama Ding Dong and they say, ah, no, it was called Lama Rama Ding Dong. And it was, you know, and nobody's really sure whether it was a mistake or whether it was the original name of the tune or whether somebody got it wrong. But I will tell you that Ramalama Ding Dong rolls much better than Lama Rama.
When it was first released on Dub Label out of Pittsburgh.
Right.
They misprinted it, and it was Lama Rama Ding Dong.
Oh, no.
And after a while, it was printed to
right.
Lama Lama Ding Dong.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, but it was originally always Rama Lama Ding Dong.
Rama Lama.
You know, and then I read somewhere that there was a bootleg copy around somewhere where the record was speeded up a little bit.
What?
Well, I don't recall the bootleg copy of it.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. You know, it's like, you know, I have all these resources, and they said somewhere kicking around was a bootlegged copy of Ramalama Ding Dong that a lot of the DJs played, and it was a little faster than the original record.
Okay.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's news to the episode.
That's
yeah.
Right. We haven't heard
it. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I'm going to see if I can research that a little bit, you know, and see if it's around or if there's a copy of it around. Because you know how that stuff happens. I mean, you know, it's crazy. So the record was actually released in what year?
It was released in we recorded it in 1958. That's when it was released also.
Right. Gotcha.
Oh, be advised that Ramalama Ding Dong enjoyed mild success in 1958.
Ramalama, Ramalama, Ramalama Ding Dong, Ramalama, Ramalama, Ramalama Ding.
So that's a few years span, and that actually happens sometimes. What was the flip side of Rama?
It was called Bells.
Uh-huh.
Go look something like this.
Ring bell, ring bell, ring bell. ring out. And those bells are ringing, ringing for you and I. You told me that you love me, and the happiness that you bring. If you listen, my dear, you can hear them ring. The bells are ringing, church choirs are singing, just
Well, I'll tell you something. I got to put you in a room with BJ of the Dubs, man, and you guys could have like a bass off.
Oh, yeah.
I started singing in clubs when I was 15, and I'm 65 now. And I've been, you know, I sang with the Mystics for many years, and I sang with a whole lot of good groups. Danny knows that, you know, and my Harmony Street group was a real good group. But one of the things about having a real good bass, there are a lot of good bass singers out there, but most of them, their intonation is not that great. So if you're on the bottom and you're really, and you're singing bass, you know, unless you're right on, you know, you can drag the group around, you know. And, you know, it sounds to me as if you got your act together, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's years now,
about what, 35, 45, 50?
Yeah.
I think it's about that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing because, you know, and I've worked with the Marcells a bunch of times and worked with Freddie, and Freddie's a really sweet guy, but I think Freddie's bass has come up a few notches now, you know.
It might be. But you know what?
Yeah.
For the success of Ramalama Ding Dong.
Right.
It's when the Marcells came out with their hit record.
That's very interesting because, you know, for years and years, people featured the bass. And, you know, I'm just going to say something technical now. And one thing is that there were two types of bass singers. There was the group that had the lead singer, the background singers, you know, on a separate mic, and the bass singer on his own mic. And then a lot of groups did it. They just, you know, kind of did it as a group sound. It was just a choice. But I remember when Blue Moon came out, everybody was really bass happy for a long time. It was like, whoa, you know, it was the ultimate bass line. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was a very cool thing. So you're actually telling me that Blue Moon was a tune that inspired Ramalama.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. Now, you were signed originally, and then Dub Records re-released it. Is that what happened?
Somehow, Tony, our manager.
Right.
He saw the misbrand. He took it to New York.
Right.
To Twin Label.
Uh-huh.
And a man by the name of Don Weiss, he looked at the misbrand and said, well, I want to put the original name on it, and he did. And as Marcia stated a moment ago, that Ram was already out, but it was lying dominant in here.
Uh-huh.
Blue Moon come out, and Ram merged up.
Uh-huh.
That's basically what happened.
Right.
Weiss put it out, and it rocketed to, I believe, number 19, if I'm not mistaken, on the Cash Box, and 21 on Billboard.
Wow. And then after that, you weren't doing sock hops anymore. Well, you were still doing sock hops, but you were probably doing them all over the country at that point.
Yes, namely Palo Theater, Royal in Baltimore.
Right.
The Howard in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
We just went all over the country.
Now, did you guys get to do any of the shows in New York, like Murray the K's show and at the Brooklyn Fox and the Paramount Theater?
No, we only, in New York, we was on at the Apollo Theater.
Uh-huh, which is, you know, it doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, no.
You know. Tell me about Dick Clark. I'm sure you guys did American Bandstand.
Three times. We was on American Bandstand, and Dick Clark, he was excited about the group. We went on with the song we made called Bone Shaker Joe.
Right, okay.
And the song consisted of an act such as, you know, shooting real dice.
Right.
And we interacted that, and he's screaming, I don't know, we can't have that on TV.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
It was a real nice guy.
Come on, Joe, let me see them dice.
Look at them rocking, talking to them, rattling bone. Well, somebody's talking everything I own.
Come on, Joe, let me see them dice. He's gonna break the joint.
Look at him moving, moving with them dominoes. Well, somebody's screaming, I ain't seen no little choice.
Come on, Joe.
Me?
Let me see them dice. Them dice was loaded.
Oh, yeah, you know, those are the stories. I mean, there were a lot of stories about Dick Clark, and I've heard them all, and I've heard basically he did an awful lot for an awful lot of groups because you couldn't get that kind of exposure nationwide no matter where you went at that time.
Right.
How about Clay Cole? Do you remember Clay Cole? Did you ever do his show in New York?
No, I don't recall that name. It's not familiar. No, not Clay Cole.
Yeah, and how about the Gita with the Heater, I'm sure? Jerry Blavin in Philly?
Blavin.
No. Those names don't ring a bell to us.
Right, so in other words, you guys...
What rings a bell to me? Jocko and...
Jocko Henderson, yeah.
Yeah, he was
the one that had us in New York.
Yeah, well, in those days, I mean, you know, Jocko was it. And believe it or not, Jocko was the first guy to say Sakatumi. It wasn't laughing. Jocko was saying Sakatumi like years before. He was great. And we had another guy, Hal Jackson, in New York that was a big DJ. But he was more, Hal Jackson played more of the R&B stuff because, you know, at that time, of course, I was a dean in a very tough New York City school for 30 years, and two of the kids that I had were Jimmy Keys kids. Do you remember Jimmy Keys from the Chords?
No, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, they wrote Shaboom, whatever, and they always told me that, you know, they wrote Shaboom, it died on the R&B charts, and then, of course, the white groups covered the tune and had the million-selling hit and whatever. And in those days, a lot of times, I'm talking 54, 55, 56, a lot of times you couldn't break over into the regular pop market. You had to stay on the R&B charts, you know, which was tough. So really, I guess the timing for the Etzels was pretty good because, you know, here it was. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know this, everybody knew and loved that tune. Ramalama is a special tune. I mean, it's a special tune for me. I can imagine what a special tune it is for you guys. I have a very strong tie to Ramalama Ding Dong and the Etzels because there was a DJ in New York named Don K. Reed, and he had a show called The Doo-Wop Shop. Did you guys ever go on The Doo-Wop Shop in New York?
No, we never did that.
Yeah, because we did a jingle for CBS FM radio. I had a group called Harmony Street with three girls. And one of the most played jingles for CBS FM and the Doo-Wop Shop was Harmony Street's version of Remalema Ding Dong. And we changed the words to accommodate the station and the DJ. But it wasn't just, you know, a verse. It was the whole tune. I actually sent that to Danny. I don't know whether you guys got to hear it.
No, I think he must have kept it all to himself. He didn't let us know anything.
Well, hey, we gotta have computer access. But I did hear it. I did hear the whole thing. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know, it was a little bit different.
The Doo-Wop Shop 101.
Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding-dong, ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding.
Boom, 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 boom.
God plays Doo-Wop and you love him so. All these but goodies will never let them go. One thing is certain on CBS FM.
Wow.
Ring out, remember them. He's our favorite DJ. Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam, Machine Gun. His name is Don K. Reed. Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam, Machine Gun.
Boom, boom, boom,
ram. Listen to the Dolby, the WCBS FM, 101's Doo-Wop Shop. Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam, Jim Gum. We're always listening every Sunday night.
Boom, boom, boom.
CBS FM, those are my guests, and I like the lyrics to that song there. That's a little jingle you guys made.
Ramalama Don K. Reed.
Okay. I've never been called.
Isn't that how
before.
It goes?
And I'm sure when you go all over the country and sing it, you know, as soon as you get into it, people, they probably go crazy in the audience.
So far,
everywhere we go.
Yeah, I know that. What was Rinka Dinka Do? Was that like a follow-up kind of tune?
So close, it looked like the battle.
Oh,
well, not a little to the right, they were doing the pop.
Oh,
and a little over to the left, they was working with the spot.
Oh,
Tommy looked at me and he began to smile.
Oh,
said, now watch these chicks, just dig my style.
Oh,
Tommy leaped to the floor like he had a wing.
Oh,
he started moving all around and doing all kinds of things.
Oh,
you know, Tommy. Just buck their eyes.
Oh,
you know, Tommy, he really took a call.
Oh,
while everybody just could laugh and ask for more.
We were trying to keep the momentum going that the Ram had charted.
Right.
And we tried Rink. And to me, Rink had it, but I can't explain it.
No. I understand. What amazed me, about the Etzels, and I think a lot of people don't know this, was the amount of recording that you guys did.
Oh,
I mean, you guys did so. You guys did so many tunes, and you know, out of the many tunes that you did, I mean, there were so many other tunes that should have been hits.
That's right. We had a number of 64.
Wow! Because
we had some that Marge and I thought that should have went stardom, but. Some reason they just didn't get that extra push or boost.
Right. Now you guys did wind up with Roulette at one point. Is that correct?
It was on Roulette.
Well, that's Morris Levy's.
Morris Levy, right?
Yeah. So how was he to deal with?
He tried with us also, and again we tried and we didn't make what we had pursued after. So it went for a while, and that was all.
Right. Other than Ramalama, what were some of your favorite Etzel tunes?
Well, me personally, I think the slow song titled What Brought Us Together.
Right, and I was referring to that. That was on Tammy Records, right?
Yeah, on Tammy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What to do. That's another Edsel tune.
Yes, it was.
Told me you love me. Told me you lied. You know I love you. You make me cry. Well, I'm so blue. Tried to make you happy, treat you sweet and kind. No matter what I do, you'll never be mine. Well, I'm so blue and I don't know what to do. What to do? Well, I don't know what made me fall for you.
Danny, I know you're in there somewhere. What's your favorite Edsel tune?
Wow. Wow, man.
The pressure's on now.
Got to find out about love jumps to my mind. But probably my favorite is Let's Go.
Okay.
Let's Go.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Now,
it's a scorcher, Mike.
Also, we had a guy down here who lived in Florida for a long time, and he passed away just recently. And he used to come to all the Mystic shows, and he used to come and follow the groups that were living and performing in Florida. And his name was High Weiss. So you guys spent some time with High Weiss as well, correct?
Well, High Weiss was the guy that put Rebel Lemma Ding Dong out in New York City.
Right, that was Old Town Records.
Right, Old Town.
Yep. Now, he just passed away recently, but he was a sweet, sweet guy.
Okay.
When I knew him.
That's news to me at March 9th.
Yeah. I think he was probably close to 90 years old, maybe more.
My goodness. Mm.
Now, and you also spent time with Capitol Records.
Yes.
You guys did Shake, Shake, Sherry as well.
Yes, we sure did.
Shake, shake, Sherry.
Yeah.
Shake, shake, Sherry.
Yeah.
Shake, shake, Sherry.
Yeah.
Shake, shake, Sherry.
Rabba-labba-labba, ramba-labba-labba.
And what about Do You Love Me? Was that the same Do You Love Me that was out on Motown?
No, no.
It was
no.
It was a different Do You Love Me.
Yes.
Uh-huh. If Your Pillow Could Talk, another Edsel tune.
Absolutely.
If your pillow could talk, your pillow talk, to my pillow tonight. If your pillow could smile, for your pillow smile, for my pillow everything's all right. Would your pillow confess? If your pillow could dance, would your pillow dance? Or with my pillow tonight? If your pillow had ears, would it listen to my tears when I cry each night? Would your pillow weep? Would it lose any sleep? For the my pillow, pillow, won't you tell them I don't wanna fight? I don't wanna fight. I don't know what to do. I keep pacing the floor. I guess the only thing to do is to talk to my baby.
us a bow.
If your pillow's too right,
mama,
your pillow right,
mama,
I chew my pillow tonight.
Tonight.
If your pillow could speak,
mama,
would your pillow speak? Tell my pillow everything's all right.
All right.
Pillow, tell her for me. I love her, don't you see? And please, 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 Mr. Pillow,
pillow,
pillow, won't you tell her?
Right now, do you still do some of these tunes in your act?
Oh, yes, by all means.
Oh, cool. Shaddy Daddy Dip Dip.
Well, I haven't did Daddy Daddy Dip Dip for a while, but since you mentioned it, maybe we'll put it in our lineup.
Shaddy Daddy Daddy Dip Dip Dip.
Shaddy Daddy Daddy Dip.
It sounds pretty good. Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to ask Danny. In the lineup now with the Etzels, are you doing a few standards as well?
We'll do whatever the promoter calls for, and a lot of times they specifically want the tunes like that you just mentioned.
Oh, I see. Because, you know, there are all different kinds of promoters, I know, because I've worked for them all. And some of them come right out and they tell you, okay, I know your tunes. This is what I want to hear in my show.
Right.
And other guys just say, hey, you're the Etzels, man. Go do what you do, you know?
You're exactly right. That's exactly how it goes. Some of them want all Etzels tunes, and
yep.
You know, but, you know, whatever they ask for.
Well, I think part of the situation is you have two different types of people in the audience. You have people that will come up to you in the meet and greet or afterwards and say, hey, man, can I have your autograph? And then they're going to say to you, you know, on the record, the first tenor did this, and tonight you guys did it that way. Those are the aficionados, man. They'll call you on everything. And then you have other people that don't have the slightest idea. They remember the song. They might not remember the group. Other guys bring the record cover and they're matching your face up with the record. I mean, you know, there's all different kinds of fans out there, you know? And it's amazing to me that, you know, when you do a show, it's a great feeling to realize, hey, man, those people are out there because we're on the bill and you know that they want to see us. They came to hear us, you know? It wasn't like they just stumbled over us. That's a good feeling after all those years, you know?
It is a good feeling, Mike.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Three Precious Words. Tell me about that song.
We battled that. George did, I believe, an excellent job. That's another one I felt that should have charged us, but it didn't. Three
right.
Precious Words were a beautiful song.
Hey, I'm in love now. Tell the world I'm in love now.
He's in love.
Darling, when I feel you close to me, that's exactly where I want you to be. Yeah. And when I hold you,
Precious words.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I have made, after I spoke to Danny, a little bit of a study to become more familiar with a couple of Edsel tunes that I hadn't heard. And I've heard some of these, but when I went digging, I said, my goodness, I mean, you guys spent a lot of time in the studio. Maybe it was a little frustrating saying, walking out of the studio and feeling that certain tunes, you walked out and you said, man, this is a hit. And then all of a sudden, you know, here's the tune, and it doesn't become a top 10 hit. That had to be a little frustrating, too.
Yeah, it was, Mike. It seemed like we were chasing the song that previous hit, such as Got to Find Out About Love.
Right.
We followed that behind Ruby and the Romantics.
Right. I hear you.
And that was our trail.
My Whispering Heart is another tune.
Oh, yes, no.
You know.
Dub and dub and dub and dub da la da.
My whispering heart is telling on you, telling all the things that you say or do. My heart tells me you're not true.
should have known from the start, thanks to my whispering heart.
Well, I've always been good, always been good. I can't get you out of my mind.
My whispering heart, yes, has told me what to do. Find myself a true love, forget all about you. Thanks to my whispering heart.
Well, I'm always in pain, so I'm always in time. I can't get you out of my mind.
I've heard them all. They're all great tunes. Count the Tears.
Wow, another one.
Tell me about Danny. How did you find Danny, or did Danny find you?
Well, let me say this about Danny. Strange things happened. Danny was a little boy crawling on the floor.
Really?
And after the group seemed to Burst, George, and Larry decide to take a different route. Danny's sister, by the name of Celia Friendly, joined our group.
Right.
And we didn't know that was Danny's sister until after a while.
Uh-huh.
So after years went by, we look up. Danny had grown up now. Now he's in the group.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is.
Well, that's almost like, you know, there's a story about the Crests originally, J.T. Carter, and they would rehearse over J.T. Carter's house, and they had a girl in the group at the time. It was Patty Van Dross, and there was a little four-year-old. It was Patty's little brother that they had a babysit for. He used to come to rehearsal, and he grew up to be Luther Vandross, and nobody knew. I mean, who knew that he was going to grow up to be Luther, you know? Now, tell me about Maurice.
Well, you know, I want to back up and let you know how I got into the group. You know, you asked how, if I found the Essence or they found me.
There we go.
Segue right into Maurice, because Maurice is actually, he's actually the one that contacted me to get it, to come into the group.
Wow.
And he kind of pursued it for a couple of years. Just asked me, did I sing? He didn't even really know that I sang at the time.
Wow.
And then he, we would run into each other. He'd always stay in contact.
Right.
And just, you know, he just always would stay in contact with me, you know, and ask me about it.
Right.
And then I eventually came over. So he's actually the one who brought me, you know, brought me to the Essos family.
Gotcha. Because, you know, Danny, you and I have spent hours on the phone talking about life, love, and music. And, you know, we kind of have the same passion for the music. But let me get back to Maurice. Maurice, how did you actually hook up with the Etzels?
Well, I grew up with Jimmy Reynolds, his sons. He had five boys. And
uh-huh.
We came up together in school. And I actually started singing with them first. They had a gospel group called the Reynolds Brothers.
Wow.
And eventually they added me to the group, and I sang with them for a while. We sung gospel. We did some R&B. We did some top 40s.
Right.
And the Essels had decided to start kicking things back up in gear again.
Right.
And actually, the Reynolds Brothers, we were their band.
Ah.
We played for them, and I was the keyboard player, and I was a background singer for the Essos.
Well, you know what? You know, when you have the keyboard, you know, as a point of reference, man, it's so much nicer than you know, just picking the notes out of the air, because you can play the chord and say, here it is, man. Here's the triad. Here's your part. And if you're changing, you know, you can just strip down the chord. I have that with the guitar. So that's really a plus. You know,
absolutely.
You know, it's a great thing. So, so you started singing with the Etzels when?
I started singing with the Etzels in '93.
Okay, so that's going back, yeah.
Right, so that's going back. I started singing with them. They asked me into the group in '93, and I've been singing with them since. So I've been with them probably about 18 years now.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a long time. So this unit of the Etzels really is very familiar with each other, because, you know, it takes time for a group to gel until you're on stage and just start thinking together and breathing together and listen. I had this talk with somebody earlier today, and I said, you know, you could take four guys that sing, and if they don't listen to each other, you can't get tight, because half of getting a real good vocal sound is listening. And a lot of guys in groups don't understand that, man. They're singing, you know, they're singing their note, but then they're not listening.
And, you know, I still have a hard time getting these guys to listen.
Now you open up the floodgate.
I hear you.
Like the strangest thing that happened, after the Essos quieted down and Morris and I began to come back.
Right.
My son, Jeffrey, become part of the group.
Uh-huh.
Then Crystal became part of the group.
Wow.
Then Carlisle, my baby boy, became part of the group.
Uh-huh.
Then they all went back to Florida. So my wife comes to me one day and she said, Jim, it's time for Maurice to to become part of the Exodus. I said, what? So he's in with us now. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I guess when you guys were playing in Ohio, you guys were a self-contained unit, and you had all your band with you most of the time, correct?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so when you travel now, I'm going to make another guess, and that is that sometimes you bring the entire band, sometimes you bring one guy, sometimes you got to put up with whatever the band is. You know how, you know, you send your charts a month ahead and they lie to you and tell you that they looked at the charts and they don't look at them till sound check?
They don't. Sound like you've been there before.
Yeah.
All my life. You know, I mean, you get the band. Now, you know, I mean, there are some really good bands out there, like Bowser's Band is a great band. And, you know, we have Rocky and the Rollers and this one and that one. But, you know, and these guys, they live the music. But sometimes, you know, you're going through a town and you got a band and you get to sound check, man, and you got 25 minutes of hell. and you do your sound check, you know, and you're still rehearsing, and the doors, and they're starting to let the people in already.
Oh, man. But the show started. You definitely been down that road.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what it is, you know, and then, you know, but that's why every night is different now, and especially with a song like Ramalama, I will bet that you guys have sung that song at every speed available.
I never thought about that.
Because here comes Ramalama, and now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do, you know, here's the tune that put us on the map, and all of a sudden they're kicking it off, and it's like you're on the highway. It's a 4-minute tune that becomes a minute and a half.
You know, Mike, I'm going to be very honest.
Sure.
In times where I would rather have done the whole show a cappella.
We were talking about that today. I was talking to one of the members of the Duprees this morning, and we did a show with them with the Mystics years ago, and the band, we didn't use the Duprees band. They had a separate band for us, you know, because they had about six groups. And I'm telling you, man, they started a couple of tunes. I turned around and I said, like, I'm a Jew, you know, I'm a nice Jewish kid, but I turned around in Italian. I said, Aspet. I said, no band. I said, give me an F arpeggio. I said, and we did like the next two tunes a cappella, you know, and the guy's like, you know, I just pulled it out of the air, and everybody in the place understood what happened. They all stood up and gave us a standing ovation because I said, the band is fired. That's it, man. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, and especially, now, you guys did some stuff with Relic Records. Is that true?
Oh, yes, we
did. In Hackensack?
After things began to change, Mike, and get all mixed up.
Yep.
Relic was sort of like a cleanup.
Well, let me tell you, you see, the reason that really piques my interest is years ago, and I'm talking about 1963, I had a group on Long Island, an a cappella group called the Islanders, and, you know, we were four guys that eventually signed with MGM and started to take off and then fizzled, but we did a whole bunch of things out in Hackensack, New Jersey with Relic Records. It was Eddie Grice and Wayne Sterilli and a couple other guys, and yeah, we did the Relic Records thing. So that's very interesting. What brought you to Relic?
That I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I really don't know. I stated that Relic was like a cleanup. After the extras was dying down or dying out.
Right.
Relic was going around picking up the group's records and
right.
re-releasing them.
Right, right.
Yeah, we didn't really have any. I don't believe, Mark, that we have any real contact with.
Oh, I see.
We didn't have no input.
So they just put it out. So you guys didn't come into Jersey and re-record it.
And that sounds like a situation where they probably bought masters from
Whoever, company, maybe
a little bootlegging or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we don't have to name all the guys the bootleg because I got a long list of them. And some of those companies, I'm sure you're on those labels. I know it for sure, you know. Now, have you guys been out of the country with the group? Have you done any shows in Europe?
Yes, we went to England.
Oh, very cool.
And
where else?
far, that was the one.
Canada.
We want to say Canada, you know,
right. We've been in the Caribbean.
Because Spain is really getting into their doo-wop, man. They're doing shows in Madrid and Barcelona. And I know, you know, in the UK, they're really starting to embrace the R&B and the doo-wop where they didn't before. Listen, I did a record on MGM years ago with my group, the Islanders, and, you know, it fizzled out years ago. And I have a friend who collects this Northern Soul stuff in England. And he said, wait a minute, you recorded that record? And I gave him the name of the record. And he says, yeah, is that record's worth about $200 over here. It's a Northern Soul, like, collector's item. And I said, get out of here. I don't even have a copy of the damn thing. I said, and you guys are, like, kicking the record around. How'd you get it? They said, oh, you know, people sell their collections. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Northern Soul over in England is huge.
Well, you know, because I guarantee you that if you guys had any tapes around or unreleased stuff, man, those collectors would jump on that stuff, because the collectors now, they just love stuff that they haven't heard before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's a really good idea. I'm going to play as much of the Edsel stuff as I can, because I think there's a lot of stuff that people that love the music haven't heard a lot of the tunes, you know, or they haven't gotten a radio play for a while. See, what's happening is that, you know, all the terrestrial regular radio stations are going away. The DJs are going away.
Right.
They're either jumping to Sirius.
Right.
Or they're going on the internet. There are a lot of internet stations. I'm lucky that when I stopped singing, a bunch of guys said to me, why don't you do radio? You've been on the radio so many times. So I started about 4 years ago, and I'm starting to interview people, you know, of course, that I was on stage with. But last week I interviewed, you know, Be Still My Heart. I interviewed Johnny Mathis, and that was a thrill for me because I always loved him. And, you know, some of the people where you say to yourself, gee, I've sung this music all my life, but there are still people that make me feel like, you know, wow. You know what I mean?
You mentioned New England and Boston radio.
Right.
We're actually going to have a performance up there in April. In, New Bedford, actually, but in the Boston area.
Whose show is it? Do you know?
Batista.
Todd.
Well, she's just booking.
Yeah, Todd Batista.
Todd Batista.
Yeah, they play his show on my station.
Okay, yeah, well, we're gonna be up there in April.
April 20th. Todd Batista's show, and it'll be April 20th, and it'll be in, you say, New Bedford?
New Bedford, the Zyterian Theater Auditorium. That's why we wanted to let you know that.
Absolutely, because Todd, I know Todd very well. He's a great guy, puts on a great show.
Yeah, Charlie Thomas Drifters.
I love Charlie, man. Charlie's one of my good friends.
The Tune Weavers from up there in New England.
They know me too. If you say to Charlie, Mike Miller, because, you know, I worked with Charlie. I showed him a picture of my group with Charlie 28 years ago when I had the three girls in a group with Harmony Street, and I showed Charlie the picture a couple of weeks ago. He said, "Oh man," he said. That's amazing.
I think you got that on your site. I think I saw a picture of you.
Oh yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be.
Shirley Austin Reeves is on that show with us too. Shirley Austin Reeves.
Shirley loves me too. You know, I know Shirley forever, and I love her to death. If you mention my name to her, she'll go, oh, you know, it's funny. I saw her a couple of weeks ago. I said, would you do a promo for my station? She says, this is Shirley Austin Reeves, original lead singer of the Shirelles, and I'm here with Mike Miller. I said, could you give me another one? She said, no. So we laughed.
Hi there, I'm Shirley Austin Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles, and you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Great. Give me one more.
Nope. Okay. Hello there, I'm Shirley Austin Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. Hi, Mike. How you doing, baby? Love you, Mike.
You you guys are in really good company, and you're starting to do some great shows. My station manager is Joe Fisk. He'll probably be at that show, and maybe Bobby Spicer from the FM station will be there, because that whole New England clique, they're very tight with each other, you know. Those guys all really hang together.
The Z and Todd Baptista present Doo-Wop 7 Rock and Remember, Friday, April 20th, starring the voice of the Shirelles, Shirley Alston Reeves.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
Special guest stars, Charlie Thomas and his Drifters.
Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah.
Massachusetts' own, the Tune Weaver.
Happy, happy birthday, baby.
And the Ramalama Ding Dong Boys, the Edsels. Don't miss this incredible night of Hall of Fame, doo-wop, and rock and roll. Get your tickets now at the Z Box Office, by phone, 508-994-2900, or online at Zyterian.org. Doo-wop 7, April 20th, Zyterian Performing Arts Center, New Bedford.
What I'd like to do is make sure that you guys work more in Florida. Now, you guys were just in Florida not long ago, right?
We will be in a couple weeks.
Where are you going to be?
Philharmonic Center in Naples, Florida.
Oh, you know, we're on the east side, so it takes me 2 hours to get across Alligator Alley. And there really are alligators on Alligator Alley, believe it or not.
But I got to let the fellas know now, Mike got some serious chops now. he definitely can blow, and he knows how to work the stage. So I just want y'all to know we're not just talking to a voice on the phone here.
Oh, I see. You know, he mentioned that he wanted us to sing or something. Maybe we should ask him.
I like the way you think.
You know, maybe, Mike, we can get a few lessons, a couple pointers here.
No. I can't give you pointers, but I'll tell you what. What I'd love to do, you know, one time is get you guys to Florida again, maybe on the east side or maybe in one of the shows. And, you know, we'll show up in the dressing room and I'll bring my pitch pipe, you know,
and my tape recorder. We love to make it down to Florida.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a lot of friends that are producing shows right now. And, you know, they're always doing good things. And let me ask you this. Before you guys were down the last time in Florida, had you been to Florida that often, or are you just starting to get to Florida at this point?
Basically, we're just starting to get to.
Yeah. Because let me tell you, I mean, down in southern Florida, there are so many baby boomers. And they just can't get enough of their music. I mean, it's just like you give it to them, especially when you say, hey, man, we got two of the original guys in the group. I mean, that it turns them on. They know, of course, that groups change. But Ramalama Ding Dong is a tune that's really etched in their minds. I mean, we have it in our jukebox. When I met my wife, Paulette, she actually had a 57 Seberg jukebox in the living room. And I was really impressed by that. And Ramalama Ding Dong is in there. So,
right.
You know, I mean, it's actually in everybody's collection. You know what I mean? So let me ask you this. After all these years, and to people that are listening, what would you guys say to fans that have been Edsel fans for all these years? Do you guys have anything you want to say to them?
Keep loving us, keep us in your mind, and sooner or later, you're going to meet us. We're coming to your town.
Yeah, you know, because right now, and, you know, let me tell you, life is short, and, you know, there's nothing that fills you up more than hitting good harmony with guys. It's very hard to explain. Danny and I have talked about this. It's very hard to explain to somebody that hasn't done it what that feeling is, being on stage and hitting harmony with guys and having the audience appreciate it. It's like a spiritual experience.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know.
Without the fans, there would be no Edsel.
No. I agree with that 100%. Now, does anybody own an Edsel?
No. don't own one. We wish we did.
Yeah, because, I mean, I asked Speedo if he owned a Cadillac, and he said for years that he did, you know.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, but he actually, Speedo hasn't sung in about a year. The last show he did was in Boca Raton in Florida. And, you know, he hasn't been feeling well, and he wants to come back. I don't know how soon that's going to happen, you know, but we'll see. So let me ask you, are you guys up to hitting a tune? What do you think?
Well, we'll give it a try. You know, the Edsels are rattling just a little bit, but we're still rolling, so we'll give it a try.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and don't forget.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll give it a try.
Fabulous. Very cool. Very cool. It was great.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this. Have you guys got any new recordings in the works?
Yeah, we do have something that we have already done, and we're in the studio as we speak. As a matter of fact, that's why we had to switch from last week to today, because we were in the studio just last week working on new material.
Tell me about what's going on with that, or is it... a secret at this point?
Well, you know, Mike, it's somewhat of a secret, but we'll share it with you.
You know, you don't have to give it all away. Just to let people know that you're coming out with some new product would be great.
Actually, what we're doing is some of the things that we were talking about. We were talking about some of the Edsels old recordings, and you were naming some of them.
Right.
Uh-huh. And we're going back into the studio, and we're going to redo some of those old songs.
Gotcha.
Yes, we had.
Now, are you going to do it with kind of updated a little bit with a little more instrumentation or whatever, or are you going to try to just stay with the authentic sound of then?
Well, things change, so we're going to still have it so everyone's still familiar with it. But we also want the young people to like it, too, so... we're going to try to make it where everyone can appreciate the music.
Right. Well, you know, of course, you go to a show and it isn't just all old people and baby boomers. You know, young people are starting to enjoy this stuff for the first time as well.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. Now, thinking back, didn't the Muppets do a version of Rem-a-Lem-a-Ding-Dong?
Yeah. It wasn't
exactly. Yeah, well, you know, the Muppets actually did do Ram-a-Lam-a-Ding-Dong.
Right.
Yeah, it was Ram-a-Lam-a-Ding-Dong. And then in Animal House, Otis Day and the Night, they did Shama-lama-Ding-Dong.
Uh-huh.
So it was a direct takeoff on that.
And also, I think Sha-na-na did a version of Ram-a-Lama.
They did. Here, there's a country line dancer.
Ah, well, really?
And in Germany, I don't know if they still do, but I know up to recently, in like in their ice rinks and the hockey rinks and stuff.
Wow.
They'd be doing, like when the home team scored, they would play Ram-a-Lama-Ding-Dong for some reason. It had all kind of reach like that.
Well, you know, I mean, the song lives forever. I'm sure the Etzels are going to go. You guys are going to keep singing until you can't stand each other anymore, I think. There's a lot more shows to do. I can't wait till the new stuff comes out. There is a tune, Danny, that you told me about that's kind of an updated tune. It's a doo-wop tune. Want to tell me about that tune?
Yeah, doo-wop never dies.
Right. And, of course, we're going to take a look at that tune as well.
My feet chose to stop. It was the corner where we used to sing doo-wop. That same corner where we'd always choose to meet. Every Friday night down off of Elm Street, the four of us are ready to take on the world. Oh, bet it all and sing a song to a special girl.
Above the rooftops and a block or two down, if you listen close, you can hear the sweet sound.
Great sound. We were cruising through downtown, and the stars were twinkling all around. That corner where we'd all meet,
a voice is bending so sweet.
And goes off the alley wall. Let me bomb another cigarette. We're smoking in the bathroom stall,
singing nonstop. We live for doo-wop. And there was no doubt, we worked those parts out.
Every song of the world of art, each one of us would all take our special part. We all be glowing like the moon in the skies, and we know for sure the doo-wop never dies. No, 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 no.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Driving with the top down.
The radio had great sound.
We were cruising through downtown.
And the stars were twinkling all around.
The years have come and the years have gone.
Once in a while when I hear that old song, I see her standing there and the mist fills my eyes. Cause I know in my heart,
doo-wop never dies.
Oh, oh, oh. No, no, no.
Now let me ask some. How close do you guys live to each other? When you go to rehearse, how long do you have to drive to get to each other? Because I want to see how dedicated you guys are.
Well, you know, I have to be dedicated, Mike, because I live in Cleveland about 75 miles away, and I have to come down here every week.
I've been in groups like that, you know what I'm saying? And nobody can figure out why people do that, but, you know, you do it because you love it. It's like me, you know, I go to shows now, and I haven't really sung. I do a track show, you know, I'm singing the tracks. I make the tracks, you know, with my own vocals and everything. But I go to shows now, and I sit in the audience, and, you know, midway through the show, I'm like kicking and screaming, and my wife is elbowing me, and I'm almost ready to stand up and say, take me. You know, it's like I want to crawl up on the stage because it's, you know, once you got it in your blood, man, it never leaves. It never leaves, you know.
Mm-hmm. I would like to touch on a couple of things. Well, first of all, I would like to let it be known, let the world know that we don't just have Do Up Never Dies is not just a song that we have. We actually have a CD by the same name. We have it available at our gigs. And if people go to BeHereNow.com.
Spelled exactly the way it sounds.
Yes, sir.
BeHereNow.com.
Right. Mainly it's available at the gigs and stuff.
Right. Now, if people want to get in touch with the Etzels either to just say hello or want to hire the Etzels to do a show, maybe at one of these upscale country clubs that I live in the midst of here in Florida, how do they contact you?
Well, our website is The Etzels Now, all one word.
TheEtzelsNow.com?
.com, right. And then all the contact information would be there.
Gotcha.
And something else we got going on, I'm working with a young man by the name of Frank Kona out of Detroit.
Oh, I know Frankie.
Right, right. Frankie put us in, and you know, we're working on some theme packages, which includes like Bunny Gibson from the original American Bandstand girl.
Right.
She was pretty big, and she's Bunny Gibson, American Bandstand.
Right.
The Reflections out of Detroit. But see, now speaking of Detroit, another group that's part of that thing are the Vandellas. The original Vandellas.
Oh yeah, Roz and Annette. I know them well.
So we got a couple things. We got a couple things shaking with them and a whole lot of other groups. And one thing I would like really like to let it be known that
right.
One of the things that separates the Etzels, we got two original guys who are in their teams still.
Right.
But the one thing is that you're going to get a lively show. You know, not just good harmony, good singing, but it's going to be, we're still putting on a lively show. The choreography is still, you know.
I heard that, as a matter of fact. And actually, you know, I'm going to be a troublemaker right now. Danny actually told me that he's the best dancer and he's the best looking. So.
Danny would say something like that.
He told me that, you know, I mean, you know, but I haven't heard from you guys yet. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Hey, well, I said before, as you get a little bit older, you slow down a little bit. I'm rattling a little bit, but I'm still rolling.
No, I hear you. So,
trust me when I tell you.
Yeah.
Trust me when I tell you. The thing that really amazes a lot of people, that they look at Jimmy and Marshall, and they're like, man, these cats are still, me and Maurice have to keep up with them.
Really? No, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, you know, let me tell you, it's been my pleasure to talk to you guys. And it's a thrill for me because, like I say, I'm pretty close to Remalema. I did it with my group, and it's Marshall, Jimmy, Maurice, and Danny. They're the Etzels, and they want to come to your town, and they want to sing for you. So really, thank you so much, guys, for spending time with me. It's going to be great playing you guys on the radio and getting to know you guys better as time goes on.
It's
been our pleasure, Mike.
Yes. Mike, before you go, what part of Florida are you in?
I'm in Wellington. I lived in Boca for about 10 years, and now my wife and I live in Wellington. Florida covers like a third of the eastern seaboard, so a lot of times people get to like Jacksonville and the northern tip, and they figure, I'm here. They don't realize they still got like a half a day's ride to get to southern Florida.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's really, but you know, we get up there every once in a while. Why, you got people in Clearwater? You have family in Clearwater?
Clearwater, Tampa. Brandon.
Right.
Port Richey?
Oh, yeah, Port Richey, that's a little closer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to let it be known. Okay, we'll be March the 2nd, we'll be in Kansas City, Missouri. March the 15th, we'll be at the Philharmonic Center in Naples, Florida. And March 31st, we'll be at the Capitol Theater in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Wow, so you guys are getting around. It's been a guest. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, you too.
And we love all the fans out there.
I know you do. Thanks.
All right, thanks, man. Okay, we're
talking
to you.
Ciao,
buddy.
Ciao. This is Mike Miller. Good night from the Harmony Street Show. www.harmonystreet.biz.
Open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found.
Ooh. On Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place
we used to go.
When we were feeling down and we were low. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's hearts. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led us to Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all. Times when we both had our doubts, but through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart.
recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we